Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tulsa, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are positively ready for some football. If you're on the WNST tech service, you know this. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. You will get all breaking news first, always from us. And Luke is out in Owings Mills making things happen here. It's all brought to you by our newest sponsors at GBMC. We're getting people healthy, including my colonoscopy here in the fall, as well as, of course, our friends at Curio Wellness, who've put me out on the tastiness tour. We're eating all of the beautiful things we have here. And people who've lived here that leave here, they know about the crab cakes. I mean, they know when they come back, they can go to a Costas or a Coco's or Nana Fadley's. They can order, you ship them other places. But there's things around our community here like pit beef that you can only get here. Things that you, Old Bay on salted caramel, everything, you can only get that here. So Clark Judge lived here for a period of time. He is an NFL historian, author, friend. He did cover the Baltimore Colts at one point, and we have this 75 reunion coming up. Bert, come on, man. Come on, Bert Lydell, call me, man. This is all coming up, but we've got like Lamar and Josh Allen, and you're one of the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters, and you got a Johnny Unitas statue you always hold up on the show at some point. Sooner or later, he's reaching for it. Hold it up. Say hello, Clark.
There you go. There it is.
It's like a fat head or something. I don't know what it is, but you love you some Johnny U.
Yeah.
How are you, first and foremost? It's
there you go.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I miss it.
You're in semi-retirement off on the farm somewhere in Connecticut. I don't know where you are, but let's start with the Baltimore Colts, and then we'll get to Lamar. All right,
yeah,
so we'll just do
sure.
Two different categories. We'll do, so this is your life, Clark Judge. The 75 Colts, you weren't here for that. You came later than that, right? But some of the key members were part of that. So I'll let you reset the scene. I will plug my 25th anniversary where John Stedman talks about me and my career and the people that made my career possible. But in the early part of my career in the mid-80s, all of my editors were admirers of yours because you had escaped here. You were out in San Diego. The Colts had escaped here. You were covering the Chargers and the 49ers and living your best Clark Judge life. You were a superstar to me before I ever met you because you had been in Baltimore working with all of the same people. Dan Shaughnessy being another one of those people that you don't think of as a Baltimore guy because they cut their teeth. Peter Pascarelli as well. Other people that were a part of your life. But the Baltimore Colts were the reason you were here, kind of, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, when I came down there, I was the Scholastic sports editor for 1 year, took over from Mike Klingemann. And then they put me on the Terps, Maryland basketball, for a year. And that was fun. And then all of a sudden they said, Ken Murray's leaving town. You want to do the Colts? Want to do the Colts? That was a team I'd grown up admiring and loving and doing the Colts. I'm going to do the Colts. So I did them in 1982, which happened to be the strike season, 57-day strike.
Oh, dude,
that
you
was
did
an
Schleister. You did all of it. You did the
yeah, – yeah.
it was
Schleister
over when you got here. Okay.
And they traded away Burton. And so that was a real initiation. But I'll be honest with you, Nestor, in hindsight, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I forged relationships that I never forgot. Vito Stellina was on the Morning Sun, and he helped me. I got along with Don Pearson, Chicago Tribune. He took me under his wing. There are numbers of these guys – who I had looked up to as a football fan that suddenly I was working with and was a colleague, and they were sort of teaching me the ropes, but teaching me the ropes during a strike. So it was an aberrant season. I mean, 57 days with them not playing. They would have, I think, occasional workouts at Owings Mills. I do remember playing a basketball game out there one time, and there were some of the Colts, and I was guarding David Hum. You know, David Hum was a backup quarterback, and I thought that was sort of cool. You know, it was an interesting time. So then covered them. Then part of the next year, although Ken came back and was doing the 83 Colts, and that kind of forced me. I was doing the NFL at large, basically, and that kind of forced me to start looking elsewhere. And then I went to San Diego the following year and covered the Chargers, then covered the 49ers and Super Bowls, and that was fun. It was great. And then later on to Fox and to CBS. But covering the Colts in Baltimore was a real thrill for me because that was the team I'd grown up loving.
Well, The 75 reunion happens. I just want to talk about that a little bit because when I've talked to the people over at Babe Ruth, and I really am hoping that by the time this airs and people hear this and see this, I will have found Bert or and Bruce Laird's been texting me. So I'm trying to find them. I really want to honor a lot of them. And a couple stories aside on the 75 team, it was my first love, right? I mean, because I was 7 years old, my dad actually took me to those games. I was at the Fog game and Tony Linhart and the comeback. I found my ticket stub from the Jets game when they beat the Jets 52 to 19 in that streak where they won 9 in a row in that season. And this is before Croner went into the upper deck and the plane and all that stuff that happened at Morris Stadium, which I was at that game as well. I was at Ghost of the Post. We've talked about that at length. But specifically the 75 team and this magical thing that was trying to happen with Irsay owning the team. By the way, the back of my ticket signed by Joe Thomas, general manager Joe Thomas. So I found one of my 75 tickets. I couldn't find the Browns when I some games I went to that year. I couldn't find the Linhart one, but I think it was under glass that's in a different place. But I have all of my memorabilia and all of that from that year. But Burt Jones and the swashbuckle of Burt Jones, and I know your affinity for him. And I was trying to explain this to my wife because my wife saw me meet Burt Jones one time. It was at the Super Bowl in New Orleans for the Ravens, like 11 years ago. I have a picture of me, Burt Jones, Stan White, and Bruce Laird together. And my wife's like, "You were like a boy." And I'm like, "You don't understand, man. I met Joe Erman at G JC Penney at East Point Mall, and he signed it. I met Ken Mendenhall. My dad loved Robert Pratt. My dad loved linemen, and certainly my dad loved Joe Erman, and just all the players of that era were larger than life to me. I would always say that to Howard Stevens when I would see him out at a charity function, or the late great Tony Linhart, whom I loved, and his kid Bernd, who will be watching. He watches every segment. Hi, Bernd. Hope you're doing okay. So for me, the Burt Jones thing and we talk about whether quarterbacks win Super Bowls or whether they get to that point, whether Lamar, Josh Allen will be that, or whether they'll be Matt Ryan, or whether they'll be Dan Marino, or whether they'll be Steve Barkowski. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, guys that don't make it, or Burt Jones. Guys, you know, Burt was special and is a part of that and a little forgotten. And you're a Hall of Fame voter, so come on in. Come at me. Come at me, Clark.
No, I won't forget that season because, as I said, a lifelong Baltimore Colts fan, and watching them suffer the post-60s was tough. You know, when they got rid of everyone, Irsay got the team, and they had a miserable franchise. And the 74, I think they were what, 2-12, and so then in 75, I remember them giving the team to Burt Jones, and they lose, I think three or four of the first five, right? Four of the first five, and then all of a sudden they go on this magical run. And I remember when I was covering the team, I talked to Ernie Corsi several times, several times, talked to him almost daily when I was covering the team in '82. And we talked a lot about that team. And I realized Lydell Mitchell was a special player in that ball club, ran for 1,100 yards. But Burt Jones, I'll never forget what he said. Burt Jones put this team on his shoulders and carried him. There was a charisma about him that there isn't among most players, pro athletes, but you could feel it, you could sense it. He had that wow factor. He was a guy you just couldn't help but love. He did everything possible to lift that franchise, and he did it. They were 10-4. Marshall Broder was the coach of the year. Burt Jones was the MVP the next year. He was a magnificent quarterback, so magnificent that I know I've said this to you on the program before, and you know it. But at the 2007 Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Giants, Bill Belichick was asked, "Who's the best passer you ever saw?" He didn't say Dan Marino. He didn't say Joe Montana. He said Burt Jones. Burt Jones, had he not been injured, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. And there's no question about it in my mind, he would have been.
You know, that 75 team begat 76, 77, that little era where you play playoff games, got their ass kicked, you know, other than the Ghost of the Post game, which was a winnable game in that era. And I'm
Well, so
talking
was the
about it.
75 game. 75 game was 7-7 at the half, you know.
Well, Clark, it's only been 50 years and I'm still pining away. Like, it's only been 20 years since Peyton Manning came in here and beat Steve McNair. And,
Oh, is
you
that
know,
that game?
It gets away from you. 42 years now out on the Orioles winning a World Series, you know, like, so you get out on all of this and 50 years out on the Colts and the franchise gone and back, and there's been two parades here that, you know, Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco, who's going to come in here and play next week, made
Yeah.
right that Burt tried, Lydell, Ted
Yeah. Yeah.
Marchabrota came back with the team. You know, there's all of these themes in all of this. And I guess that, you know, takes me to where we are right now with Josh Allen and with Lamar Jackson being in the
Yeah.
middle of that cake and saying, are you going to be the Peyton Manning that gets there or the Matt Ryan that didn't or whatever? Because these
Or the Burt
eras come
Jones
and
of it. Yeah.
go. Yeah,
Yeah.
and listen, and I would say this too, and I said this earlier. I had our dear friend John McClain on, who once again has picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl this year, and he says, I pick them every year. And I'm like, well, stop, you know. And they're all chasing Mahomes, right? And that goes for Burrow, that goes for Allen, that goes for Jackson, any of these guys that are on that next level, and I'm like, oh, I've seen this before. So's Clark Judge, right? There was
Yeah.
Roethlisberger. There was Philip Rivers under your watch. There was Phil
Drew Brees, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees forever chasing it, right? Peyton chasing it for a number of years. Flacco chasing it for a number of years. Not everybody gets there. Not even when they have the best team on paper like Lamar does right now.
Well, best example is Dan Marino. His second year, he's in the Super Bowl. And I thought, we're going to see this guy a lot. We didn't see him again. Dan Marino's a great, great quarterback. But what do people say about Marino? He got to one Super Bowl, and you know what? He lost it. So, yeah, it's so difficult. You don't, I'm really not sure how it goes season by season, but I would say I agree with John McClain. I think Baltimore's the team to beat this year. I really do. Now, what do we know, Nestor, about Super Bowl losers? Unless you got Tom Brady, you don't go there the next year. You don't go back to the Super Bowl next year if you lose it. Now, only one team in the last 30 years has done that, was New England. They had Tom Brady. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, a great quarterback. Great quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. Not yet. So I'm not taking Kansas City. I'm taking somebody else. But what's your choice? Buffalo or Baltimore? I'll take Baltimore.
You don't like Cincinnati. You don't like San Diego.
No,
I'd say San
Cincinnati.
Diego. I mean the Chargers.
No, yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. That's another team I cover. The move. They all seem to move except for the 49ers.
They
But
moved
you
to
know,
Santa Clara, where the Super Bowl is this year.
yeah, I thought, you know, honestly, I thought this was the year the Chargers, because what do we know about Jim Harbaugh? Second year, first year, immediate success, and he had it last year. Now they're ready for takeoff, right? They lost their left tackle. Slater's out for the season, and I thought that's a killer. You can't lose someone of that caliber and lose him for an entire year. So I look at who else in that division is going to beat them. Denver and beat Kansas City. Maybe I don't trust them. So Kansas City gets the playoffs, I assume. That's not exactly going out on a limb, but somebody's got to beat them. So who's it going to be? And you talked about Cincinnati. Cincinnati always kind of finds a way not to get there. And generally, it's because of those starts that were like in the last 4 or 5 years, so whatever it is, 6 years, 1-11 over the first two or three games. I don't know what it is, but they can't win coming out of the gate. They got to stop that. And the other thing is, you got to protect Joe Burrow. Now you're going to give him a running game. I think Chase Brown might be the guy, but see, Joe Burrow going to throw for 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 yards. I mean, they've got to get more than a one-dimensional team. I don't trust them. I trust in that division. Baltimore, really the only team, Baltimore. I don't know what to make of Pittsburgh when you've got Aaron Rodgers in the lineup. I don't think that's exactly an improvement. Not at his age, if it had been 5 years ago, sure. So to me, you looked at, you were naming quarterbacks, and there were some really high-profile quarterbacks, but they're all in the AFC you were talking about. You were talking about Burrow, you're talking about Mahomes, you know, Lamar, certainly up in Buffalo. I think Allen's a tremendous quarterback. It was right there with Lamar when you're talking about a guy who can do everything for you. But is that enough? And I don't know. Baltimore just seems to be loaded this year. I mean, I was looking at their depth chart the other day, and the secondary could be loaded. I mean, really could be. You want to defend the Mahomes and the Allens in that conference if you're going to win, right? You want to, Burrow, if you want to take it. But you look at what they've got. I mean, I thought Jaire Alexander, great pickup. They got Awuzie, another good pickup for depth. They've got depth. They've got quality. Your first round pick, Stark, it could be a good, great safety. Who knows? But you've got depth everywhere, you can run the ball. You can pass it. You got the quarterback. I mean, I don't know what's missing. Injuries, of course, dictate a lot. We don't know what happens if and when one of those key players gets hurt. We know what happens when Lamar got hurt, because you saw that. But Baltimore, to me, is the team to beat this year. And I'd be shocked if they weren't at least in the conference championship game.
Clark Judge is here, NFL and pro football historian, also a longtime voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, in semi-retirement, but like
That's weird to hear you say
secretariat.
historian. That's weird to hear you say historian. I used to always talk to these old guys and go historian and go, wait a second. Yeah, I'm
Dr.
old.
Z's not here anymore. I got you. So that's it. You
Yeah,
know what I
that's
mean?
right.
You're all I got, Clark. You know what I mean? I say
Oh.
Burt Jones to people in this town, they're like, who? Who did the is he a fifth round draft pick for the Ravens? I'm like, no, that you know, it's Mike Green in
That's the
England.
problem with being this age, is because I go Burt Jones, and I've had the same thing looking around that Hall of Fame board of selectors, and some guys go, who? I go, Burt
Well, that's why
frickin'
I gotta find
Jones.
people like you to hang out with, because like if I can't hang out, if you don't know who the hell Burt Jones is, I don't even want to know you. I mean, come on,
That's
in this town.
where I am. That's where I am. I stayed at a hotel a year ago with my wife in New Jersey. We were checking out, and a guy from LSU, I said, oh, LSU, when'd you go there? And he told me, I said, you remember Burt Jones? Burt Jones! He talked about him like he was a god, which he was down
Rustin
there. And
Rifle, man. I mean,
yeah,
come
the
on.
Rustin Rifle. Oh, he's talking forever. He goes, I remember just trying to get out to watch him practice. That's who Burt Jones was. God, it was so much fun. And he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I remember a girl I was dating. She was in love with Burt Jones. I said, hey, I'd be in love with Burt Jones too if I were you. I'd take him over me in a second. But I just loved watching him play. Played with enthusiasm. He had such panache, Elan. He had everything going for him. Great looking guy. Great talent. Could do anything. Win big games. And then unfortunately, you get to the postseason. You go, 3-0-3, and that's what people who didn't watch him, whatever, look at analytically. Well, that doesn't tell the story of Burt Jones. It doesn't. That goes to the post game. God Almighty, the pass to Raymond Chester, as he said, if
Yeah.
I just held on to the ball a second longer, game's over. Baltimore wins.
Yeah, and I would have gotten home in time for my mom not to burn the Christmas dinner. Clark Judge is here. It's only been 48 years ago. It's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not over it yet. Clark Judge is here. We remember things from our past and our childhood. So Clark, I have before we get off topic here, and I know exactly where I'm going to go with this, where the Ravens are doing the smart things and Jerry Jones isn't. I have found in the honor of Burt Jones, I was looking for my 1975 ticket stubs. I found all of my Colts ticket
Wow.
stubs from my childhood, and I know you covered that '82 team. So I just want to show you the two tickets for me and my pop. For the this was the Packers game. This was the game where this is the fame. This is the tie game. This is
The
the
tie,
08
08 and
and
one.
one. This was
That's
the
right.
one with the Packers. And this is my Jets ticket from the 75 Colts. You know, my dad didn't have a lot of money. We had the temporary seats out in the out in center field, as you can see there, section 24. There was no such thing in Memorial State. But $5.50. And so you know, this is my childhood as I remember all this. But really, all of that was marred by Irsay and poor ownership. And we've lost Jimmy. You and I did an hour on the life of Jimmy Irsay and all that happened here. One of the things about the Ravens and their greatness for you and others to be able to pick up, what are you holding up there? You're holding something up. Oh, you're holding our night with Jim Irsay up. All right, we'll let you do that. You got me distracted now, Clark, with your I'm distracting you with my 70s tickets props. But the Ravens always get these things right. And the Kyle Hamilton thing, they give him $100 million, and anybody around the league would say he's a friggin' safety. No, he's not your Troy Polamalu safety or Ed Reed. He plays the game a little bit more like Derek Thomas, or a little bit more like Lawrence Taylor in his prime, a little bit more like just a football player, as maybe Bill Parcells would call him, right? Or Bill Belichick would call him. But at the same time, Jerry Jones is letting Micah Parsons go off and play for the Packers. Let's talk about poor ownership and good ownership, because so much of what you've witnessed coming into this, you mentioned you already referenced the great Ernie Accorsi. You were there at the podium when John Irsay got dealt away, and you were the one dealing with all of that to start your career.
John Elway, not John
Did I say
Irsay,
John Irsay? John
please.
Elway. John Elway, Bob Irsay, Jim Irsay. There you go.
That's right.
Jim Irsay, Jim Elway. No, John Elway. That was the father. No, but talk to me about this, because I would say where Jerry Jones is, I'm a little concerned about his acuity, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm concerned about his acuity. You don't trade great pass rushes. Those are difference makers. A quarterback's a difference maker. It reminds me somewhat of a situation in San Diego just before I got there. They had a potentially great wide receiver in John Jefferson, and they couldn't get a deal done with him for a long time. And on one summer day, his agent, whose name I've forgotten right now, but he calls a press conference to bash the Chargers. They're not doing it. Calls a press conference, stands up there, and Jerry McGee, God rest his soul, says, "Hey, just want to tell you before we get this press conference started, the Chargers just traded JJ to Green Bay." I was like, "What? They just told Chargers just traded him to Green. They traded him to Green Bay to bury him because they couldn't reach a settlement. The Packers weren't a great team. He's now going from San Diego to Green Bay, which was prior to global climate change, a cold weather city." So they and we know what happened. JJ didn't have the career there that he was having in San Diego. This is a whole different situation. The Packers are a good team, could be a great team. This is a great pass rusher. You don't get rid of people like this. You just don't make that mistake. A wide receiver, you can replace him. And they replaced JJ with Wes Chandler. And after his first practice, Dan Fouts looked at Charlie Joyner and said, "We got a better one." And he was. Wes Chandler was better, actually. But you're not going to find a guy better than Micah Parsons. So what are you going to do this year? Are you fleshing the season? What are you doing? You're getting two first-round draft picks. That's great. And you have a defensive tackle. You don't have Parsons there. Green Bay does now. They've got a difference maker. And you're right. It comes down to ownership. And that all filters down. Ownership in Dallas is a little different because the GM's the owner. Well, that's a problem. And that's a problem there. And we've seen how much of a problem it is over the last, whatever, close to 30 years. They can't get to a Super Bowl. They have trouble getting to playoffs. They don't win playoff games. When you see a team like Baltimore, it's a completely different situation. To me, Kyle Hamilton, I'm not there, but he seems like the heart and soul of that defense. And he's a difference maker. You reward him, you keep him, you don't drive him out of town. You're right. That's the right move to make. The Eagles used to do that all the time, and I guess still do. But when I was covering the Eagles back in the Andy Reid days, they were always a step ahead of everyone else. And they sort of wrote the book on negotiating and renegotiating contracts with Joe Banner. And the rest of the league kind of caught up to them. And now you see what Andy's doing in Kansas City. You keep difference makers. And they let Tyreek Hill go because you can replace a wide receiver with a wide receiver. Who are you going to replace Micah Parsons with? I don't know. But good luck to you. You let an invaluable piece go. And I don't know how you explain that to your fan base. I heard him try, but nice try.
Mark, we were 2 years out on them fighting with Lamar here, but they got it done.
Got it
But
done.
they fleeced the Bears on Roquan Smith at a trading deadline. They have Hall of Famers like Derrick Henry that they were. There was a question as to whether Derrick Henry could still play a year and a half ago. A
I
lot of
know,
teams
I
would
know.
say not worth that money. All right, well then, try to tackle him. Tell him that when you're trying to tackle him, he's going to come play against you, which you don't want to see, certainly not in December, January, the way his body has been built and the way it's held up. And one day you'll put a bust on him. And then DeAndre Hopkins decides to come in. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but Hall of pretty good. A Hall of
Well, yeah.
making you think about it. How about that, right? And looking to put an exclamation point by catching 64 balls and getting ringier this year, maybe catching two in the Super Bowl. So the notion that this place attracts that they make these depth moves, they sign players, they draft guys like Linderbaum and they think Nate Wiggins can be the next guy. And then what I'm watching, and let's get to this game and Josh Allen and Lamar, Clark Judge is my guest here, Pro Football Hall of Fame legend, voter, historian, although he's a young historian, not an old historian. The notion that the older players this time of year, where they are on the aging part of this. For me, it's Marlon Humphrey. For me, it's Ronnie Stanley. For me, it's Lamar a little bit. Still got the wheels and this and that. I think he does. Roquan Smith was a different player without Patrick Queen last year. They didn't have the same kind of players there. And Derrick Henry, who now we're now taking for granted a year after saying, well, can he still do it or whatever? I mean, we were doing that with Peterson till the end, but this is really where Hall of Famers turn it on for and try to impress folks like you who vote on such things to say, where are the veteran guys and are these exclamation marks? And I don't think Ronnie Stanley's going to the Hall of Fame or Marlon Humphrey, I don't know, but certainly they'd like to get a ring at this point.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think it's premature to talk about that at this point, but I think you've really got to reset the timer when we're talking about age now, because players take so much better care of themselves today. The game tries to make it safer for them, although it's a violent, violent ball game. But you look at quarterbacks who are playing into their 40s. I mean, Pittsburgh starting a quarterback who's in his 40s. You don't know what Tom Brady did when he was 43. We know what you can do. Then Brees got played into his 40, I think it was 40, 41, whatever. That didn't happen, 30 years ago. To me, the 35 age level was the line of demarcation for quarterbacks, and that's changed now. Now it's almost 40, and Joe Flacco is going to start for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Joe Flacco is pretty good. He's still pretty good enough to start for Cleveland. But I think you're right about you measure how they go through that career. You don't want to see that significant drop off. But some of those guys you mentioned have had great careers. DeAndre Hopkins, he's had a great career. Now, if he stopped tomorrow, you're right, he's in at least the Hall of Very Good. He might be in the Hall of Fame, but he's had a great career. A guy like Humphrey Stanley, you'd want to see them, a little more of them. Ronnie Stanley, to me, is not. I don't consider him. I don't consider either of those guys old. But you're right about the age. You worry about them as they get older, but that age level has been pushed up now. So where it used to be, I know that the Eagles, when they were talking again, we're talking the Andy Reid years, when they were renegotiating contracts, they would say, we're not doing extensions by and large with guys who are 30 or over. We're not, because they decline quickly. That's not the case anymore. And so you have people like Derrick Henry, great example. Oh, running backs are done by the age of 30. Yeah, sure, right. No, they're not. They're not. You saw Frank Gore played until he was like 1,000 years old. And now you've got Derrick Henry, who's just, look, he was next to Saquon Barkley last year. Best running back out there. I mean, he should have gotten MVP votes. A great player. And he's on a team with another MVP, Lamar Jackson. So that's why I say, I look at this ball club and go, where's the weakness? You want to tell me where the weakness is? I don't know where it is right now. But as I said, obviously injuries dictate what happens to teams as the season goes on. And not necessarily the best teams get to the finish line. Sometimes it's the healthiest.
Mark Judge is our guest here. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. He'll be watching the Bills and the Ravens as well as the entire
Yeah.
season. And we had some fun here doing some history with the 75 Colts. And my parting shot for you is I found my 83 Colts ticket stub. This is a team you covered. You ready? So, do you remember the Elway Sucks game? There's a ticket stub from the Elway Sucks game, game one of 83. This was the last.
Vernon Maxwell.
This is the
Vernon
last Colts game my
Maxwell.
dad went to because I went to the Oilers game, but this was the Steelers game where the Steelers fans took over the stadium. There's Terry Bradshaw on the ticket stub. And then also that year, I did not go to this game. This is my mom's ticket stub. The Walter Payton game. Raul Alegre won that game with his foot, as I remember it. And
Yeah.
the sweetness on the ticket there before they even knew that it was sweetness. Probably a valuable ticket there. All the history of all this and where we are, Buffalo still hasn't won a Super Bowl, and that sort of weighs on them. For this game and for last year not being this year, this is about as big as it gets. But get everybody out of the tree that if you lose on Monday morning, the sky's not falling here. But it really is difficult to sell that to people around here when these teams have met, and I tell you what, you don't want to be going to Kansas City. You don't be going to Buffalo. The
Okay.
Ravens play Detroit 2 weeks from now. They got Flacco next week, Detroit, then Kansas City. Boy, the Ravens have this freight train to kind of start this season. And, the expectation is Super Bowl. The expectation of the 83 team was not that.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's correct. The expectation of the 83 team was, could they even come close to 500? They came close to
They
500. I
did.
think they were
7-9.
7-9.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then with Mike Pagel. But you look at the I was looking at the schedule this morning, the Ravens schedule. At Buffalo, Cleveland at home, okay, there's one. Detroit, oh, well, that's gonna be a tough game. At Kansas City, that's gonna be a tougher game. Houston, playoff team, I would think they'd win that division. LA Rams gonna be good. You look at that, and then you gotta bye. Whoa, I mean, that is a brutal, brutal schedule. And the funny thing is, it's teams like Baltimore, Buffalo. Buffalo always seems to win. They can beat Kansas City in the regular season. Just can't beat them in the playoffs. And that's you think that's the measuring stick. We got to beat them. No, you got to beat them in the postseason. And so that's where you say, you don't go out on the ledge, not yet, because It's just a game. It's a 17-game season now. It's a long haul, and you'll find teams that catch fire in the last 6, 7 weeks, and suddenly they're there. And then you've got to win the toughest games. That's one, and you're out. And I thought 2 years ago, Baltimore's in. You know, they were the host team. They had Kansas City there, and they decided to try to make Lamar Jackson into Johnny Unitas, which made no
Taylor
sense to
Swift's
me.
fault. She showed up and it all went
Yeah.
downhill from
Yeah.
there,
Yeah, try to make him into a pocket passer. I didn't understand that. Run him to death. They can't stop the run. Run them to death. And they didn't. I know there's some things that drop ball, the fumble at the goal line, everything, but they should have won that game. They should have. But that's what you talk about. Are we cursed? I mean, it's not Baltimore so much. To me, it's Buffalo thinks that. I mean, so much that ESPN did a special on it, and rightly so. You know, it's not just wide right. It's over and over again. You know, the Miracle Memphis and the Music City Miracle. You have what happened last year. You know, the officiating in the game against Kansas City. I don't know whether it was right or wrong. I know they were really dubious calls in that game. But it just seems like no matter what happens, Thurman Thomas can't forget. He can't find his helmet. What's going on? It's always Buffalo. It's Buffalo. And so at some point, I tell you honestly, I think Baltimore is the team to beat, but I want to see Josh Allen get to a Super Bowl. I don't want him to be Dan Marino, who never gets there after his one and only time, but I want to see him get there at least.
Well, Clark Judge is a real hockey fan, so when I say Buffalo really got screwed, they got
Yeah.
screwed by the Dallas Stars. And I sat in a casino in Vegas and watched that, and lost my mind. So Clark Judge is here, hockey fan, baseball fan, washed up sports writer, one time
Yes,
Baltimore
that's
Evening
right.
Sun.
That's right.
We were never colleagues, but we did work under the same umbrella here in Baltimore, and we have many mutual friends. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer. He is a rock and roller at heart. As well, and always a Todd Rundgren fan. One day you and I will see Todd has got a you saw Rundgren recently. He's been running
Some
around again.
twice, some
Saw him
twice.
twice. Well, of course, you can't. You're like me.
Some in May and some in June. So
And
can't get
we'll see him
enough.
in October, November if he decides to come back and play the
Yes,
Tower
haven't
Theater or
seen
whatever.
him enough. I'm up to 91 now.
Listen, I just want to see some good crisp football here to start the season. It's a big game. As I've said, nobody's tackled anybody. We're going to have
Yeah.
penalties. We're going to have good things, bad things. And we're all going to gather on Monday morning here and act like we won, even if we lost. So, Clark, one night we'll have a beverage. And if we come in for this Burt Jones thing, let me buy you
Oh,
five
yeah.
crab cakes. All right. If you
Get
come
Bert.
in,
Let me
listen,
know if you get Bert. Let me know if you get him.
well, of course, I'll send you the link. If I get Bert on you, the whole world will know I had Bert Jones on this program. You got to be kidding me. But if you do come in, I mean, crab cake's on me. So, you and Leslie, let me know. All right.
Thanks, Esther. Appreciate it. Always good talking to you.
Clark Judge, my man, the myth, the legend. He votes on the NFL Hall of Fame. I didn't even ask him if Justin Tucker's a Hall of Fame. Yeah, see, I got through it. I made 30 minutes with no Justin Tucker at all, Hall of Fame. We'll do that the next
He's
time we
in
gather.
the conversation. Let's put
I
it that
know he's going to
way.
be in the conversation. Let's see if he's in the conversation in week 11. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we've never stopped talking Baltimore positive, even when it's not always positive, but we try to make it positive.